Welcome to Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad that you have joined us for worship on this first Sunday in January. Please stand as you are able for our opening hymns.
Down by the joy and the prophet's name, John. I want to invite up any children to come up on the steps with me before we head off to Children's Church. All the children will be in Grant Hall today. Look, thank you for coming and joining. Our youth, we have youth on second and fourth Sundays, so this week youth can stay here in the services. Come on up, don't be shy, guys. Or they can come to Grant Hall with us for Children's Church. Well, good morning, happy new year. It's good to see all of you. Thank you for being here. Oh, good. Sometimes it just takes a little while. So we're going to talk about something that a lot of adults don't like to talk about in the beginning of January. We're going to talk about food. So hopefully you've all eaten a lot of good food over the holidays. Does anybody have a favorite food that they ate? Or maybe you ate it or you didn't eat it, but anybody have a favorite food?
My mom makes an egg bake every Christmas morning.
Delicious. Does she make it like the night before and it's ready? That's really great. I did the same thing. Your favorite food, yes?
Candy canes.
Candy canes. That is a good food group. That is delicious. I love candy canes. I could eat them all day.
I had some Pop-Tarts cooked in the toaster.
Pop-Tarts. Do you have a favorite kind of Pop-Tart?
Frosted strawberry.
Everybody getting hungry? So, yes, we've been talking a lot about shelter, right? In Children's Church in this last several months, we've been talking about shelter. And now we're going to be starting to talk about, what do you think? Food. We're going to be talking about food. We're going to talk about how God provides us food, how food is plentiful on this earth. That is, it is there for us to enjoy, it is there for us to share, and to make sure that we conserve food and water, and that we make sure that the whole world is fed. So we'll be talking about food today, and we will be also celebrating communion. And so we will get to have a little bit of food as we celebrate communion today with Bishop Mary Ann Swenson. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll head to Children's Church. Creator God, thank you for the abundance in this world. Pray that you would help us open our eyes to see that you have provided all that we need and that there is enough for all and that we can be people who teach others how to share and to give and to redistribute and bring justice so that no one is hungry, no one is in need, that everyone is housed, that everyone is healthy, and that everyone is fed. I pray that it can start with these children even now, that we can plant seeds to help them think about how as they grow and into adulthood, that they can be people who bring change to this world to make it more just and fair and compassionate in your light, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, as we head up the stairs to Grant Hall, I invite you all to stand and pass God's peace to one another.
I invite you to take your seat and prepare to enter into a special time during our service that we set aside for a time of prayer and conversation with the God who is always listening. And we are so grateful to enter that space led there by our wonderful choir. God of new beginnings, giver of life, blesser of the waters, we gather together on this first Sunday of the year to worship you and remember the powerful role you play in transforming our lives. Thank you for seeing in us what we sometimes fail to see in ourselves, that you have made us people possible of change, co-creators of a beloved kingdom and community that is still evolving, and folks on the path to Christian perfection. Thank you for your Son, the Prince of Peace, who is born to teach us more and to lead us on a journey of healing and reconciliation with ourselves, with each other, and within our community. God, this morning we come to you fresh, ready for new beginnings, and yet we mourn. We mourn violence across the world, war in the Ukraine and in Gaza and in Palestine and Israel. We pray for lives lost and those being held captive. We ask for change and transformation and a new day when peace is known by all. This morning, we also pray and ask for your intervention and your presence in the ongoing struggle against gun violence. We know that this is a man-made sin, a man-driven violence. We mourn the loss of a child in Perry, Iowa, and the injuries of 8 others, and pray that you will be with that small, close-knit community and bring them healing. We pray that those children will be spared lifelong trauma. We pray that they will want to go to school again, that they will know joy again. We pray for solace in a moment where it seems impossible to conceive of it, and to be with each and every parent and community member there as they grapple with a new day. Our hearts break with the knowledge that these tragedies are preventable, God, and we confess that we have not done enough, but also that we don't really know what to do. We pray for real change, God. Bring real change at the political level, regulation of firearms, increased access to resources for mental health, and a day when all children are again safe in the classroom. Help us be your advocate in the world, seeking peace and joy for all people. May we build the world that we are dreaming of together. You are the God that knows all that is on our hearts and minds, and we have much to offer to you now in a time of silent prayer. God, we are grateful to you that in all of your existence and all the things that you do in our world, you make time to hear our prayers, to receive our worries and our burdens and our thanksgiving. We are grateful, and we are especially mindful that you are able to carry what we cannot. This morning, we pray for Brian and Stephanie in their time of loss. Bring them solace. For Marlon and for Dan and Haskell. For healing for Bonnie and for Isaac in a time of deliberation. We pray for Eric Mitchell, who is in a coma, and the family that is praying for him. We offer thanks for our wonderful Dan, who keeps our campus safe on his birthday. We are so grateful for him. We know that everything that comes into our community, every person, every act, is a gift from you, and we are grateful. We know all healing is possible in your name. Pour your Holy Spirit over all who are in need of it now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Happy New Year, church family. Happy 2024. Hey, real talk, how are those resolutions going? I'm going to check in with each one of you throughout the year, so let's make sure you keep them. Let's quickly check in real quick, if we could. Get out those phones, scan the QR code. If you have any prayer requests, please drop them in there. We get those every week, and I share them with the pastoral staff. And while you're doing that, I just want to, Marlon is not here today because he is sick at home, but I know he's watching. So I just want to wish you a happy birthday. I have a little something for you I'm going to send home with your mom. So we miss you. Better not be at the Golden Globes later. Because someday he will. All right, a few things to get on your radar. Hopefully you all grabbed one of these when you came in. It's our little fridge flyers for the next 4 months. If not, they're in your pew pockets in front of you. But just a couple things to run over. Most small groups are off through this month, but some are starting. Some new ones are starting. And we have next week, on the 14th, Sunday Adult Study is starting with Rev Ed and Tim Payne, and that'll meet in the chapel every other Sunday, and they're going to start with the topic of Galatians and Paul. So that starts at 12:15 tomorrow, or next Sunday. We have also the Blessing Bag Build, which is coming up on the 21st, which is after church. That'll be in the gym, and then you can also take some of the blessing bags home with you when needed, and you can hand those out. We're also a part of the LA Unhoused Count that's happening on the 25th from 8 p.m. to 12 p.m., and if you'd like to be a part of that, you do need to be registered, so please either sign the QR... Oh, we don't have it up there. The QR codes are going to be at the welcome table, so in the parlor and the one out in the narthex. You can grab that on your way out. And lastly, we're excited that Dr. Frank Rogers from the Claremont School of Theology will be here with us on the 28th. He'll be preaching as well as doing a talk back after church in the chapel. And he'll be preaching on the theme of his new book, which is called Cradled in the Arms of Compassion. So hopefully you can be here with us on that day as well. I have one thing I need to read that somebody gave me, and it's about our giving statements. So it's that time of year again. And if you donated to HUMC in 2023, your giving statement will be emailed January 10th to you. It will come from Hollywood UMC, noreply@churchcenter.com. So please, if you would, make sure you're checking your email, check your spam folder. This link will be active for 2 weeks. And after this, it will be a physical statement that we'll mail out. But please, if you would, help us stay green and print this at home online, okay? Any of these things I talked about, come see me in the parlor afterwards. We're doing it in the parlor since it's so breezy, all of the desserts and coffee, and I can answer any questions for you. All that we do here is made possible by you, with your prayers, your presence, your service, and your gifts. So as the ushers come forward and we put an electronic code up for giving. Please give as you're able so we can continue to do ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you.
A reading from the Gospel of Mark. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
This morning we begin our Epiphany sermon series entitled Breathe. As we begin a new year, let us learn or relearn how to breathe. So I invite you, take a deep breath. Breathe in truth. Refresh your spirit with God's loving words of affirmation. Breathe out prayer. Release your stress with calming, breath-oriented prayers. Breathe deeply of God's love and mercy and discover why every breath can be an invitation to peace. Now, we're going to focus more in depth on those different topics in the weeks ahead. But for today, at the center of knowing, of being able to breathe, rather, is knowing and accepting God's grace, the grace that comes to us through the waters of life that Jesus experienced in his baptism. Our gospel lesson for today is about that grace. John the Baptizer, who had grown up in the city, his parents were, you know, very high priests in the temple, had moved out into the wilderness. He had moved from the center of power out to the fringes, gathering folks at the River Jordan, offering them God's grace through repentance. For centuries, the Jewish people had understood the symbolic power of ritual washing, but John's emphasis was different. John believed that baptism was God's initiative and that God's doing something we couldn't do for ourselves. Astonishingly, the crowds responded to his irreverent invitation. People from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to meet John at the Jordan River. Think about it for a moment. John, the camel-wearing, locust-eating prophet, emptied the city. It's easy for us to miss the significance of the mass exodus that St. Mark describes. Jerusalem was the beating heart of Israel's spiritual life. The temple was the place to go meet God, and rituals of purification by water were already a part of Jewish devotional life. But there was something in John's message that compelled a whole population to leave their religious epicenter for spiritual nourishment and rebirth. It was a shift away from business as usual. Now, the people who came to John to be baptized were desperate for love and acceptance by God. Many had been told by those same religious establishments in the center that they weren't acceptable to God, but they felt in their hearts that God loved them, that God must love them, and they were willing to go out into the wilderness to a man as notorious as John had become, to find out if there was really a place for them in God's plan. And John didn't offer them cheap grace. He said they had to change. They couldn't go on hurting God, themselves, or others. They had to put aside their old ways of living to repent and fully receive God's grace. And then along came Jesus. John didn't want to baptize him because he knew that Jesus didn't need to be baptized. But Jesus chose to be baptized because he wanted to begin his ministry by standing with us, by getting into the waters of life and grace and repentance with us so that we could truly know how much God loves us. Jesus stood with all the people who had flocked to the Jordan River. They knew then, like we know today, that in baptism a new day had dawned in their lives. It was the working of what John Wesley would later name prevenient grace, God's grace that reaches out to us even before we ask for it, even before we know what's there, and says, "Here, you are my beloved one. I am well pleased with you." And in our baptism, this is what God is saying to each of us. You are my beloved one. Not because we've done anything to earn it or deserve it, not because of our social status or gender or income or any other metric. You are God's beloved child because God's very nature, God's very inclination and desire is to love and to offer us unmerited and amazing grace over and over and over again. The great preacher Mark Trotter, who was for years was the pastor at First Church San Diego, once wrote that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great German theologian who joined the resistance against Hitler, established an underground seminary during those days and wrote The Cost of Discipleship, which is a commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. And in it, he makes the distinction between cheap grace and costly grace. Cheap grace is going to church to hear the comfortable words, the good news about God's unconditional love, then snuggling in it as if it were a down comforter, leaving church with a warm, peaceful feeling, but not letting the one who brought that love into the world, who died for you because of that love, challenge the way that you are living. In the Bible, repentance is not just remorse for the past, feeling sorry that you did something. In the Bible, repentance is a decision about the future, about how you are going to live. It's the realization that God is giving you a new opportunity for life and seizing it. Sarah Sarchet is a Presbyterian pastor in Chicago, and one day a 10-year-old boy in her congregation named Cameron walked into her office and said he needed to talk with her. He had just come from soccer practice, and he wearing his Cincinnati Reds cap, and he said, "I want to be baptized." He said, "We were learning about Jesus' baptism in Sunday school, and the teacher asked the class who'd been baptized, and everyone raised their hands but me." Well, using her best pastoral tone, she said, "Cameron, do you want to be baptized because everyone else is baptized?" And he looked at her and he said, "No, I want to be baptized because it means I belong to God." And she was touched by his understanding, and she said, "Well, how about this Sunday?" And then his face seemed to change as he said, "Do I have to be baptized in front of all those people in the church? Can't I just have a friend do it out in the river?" And she said, "Well, where did you get that idea?" And he said, "Well, Jesus' cousin baptized him in the river if it was good enough for him." And she conceded, and she says, "Well, you have a point, but if a friend baptizes you in the river, how is the church going to recognize it?" Oh, we always look for those numbers, don't we, pastors? And so she climbed up on her footstool to reach for, in the Presbyterian Church is the Book of Order, but before she got up on that to that shelf, he responded, "How will they know that I've been baptized? I guess by my new way of living." Well, she almost fell off the footstool that she'd climbed upon, and she left that Book of Order up on the shelf. You see, this child's understanding was neither childish nor simple. It was a profound statement. Baptism calls us to a new way of living, which is likely why we historically celebrate it toward the beginning of the new year. Well, in addition to breathing deeply of God's Spirit in 2024, how else might our baptism be calling us to a new way of living? Let me suggest a few ways. First, practice hospitality. Now, for some of you, this is your naturals at it, and for others, it's a challenge. But if you see someone you don't know and you don't recognize, even if they may have gone here for years and you just haven't noticed them yet, welcome them. Invite them to sit with you. Take them over to the parlor and get in line for coffee and dessert after worship. Showing hospitality is one way we can intentionally grow this community of faith and grow our fellowship with one another. Second, to join a small group when they begin again next month. Devin, as he mentioned, has a list of all the existing ones, and then there's Ed and Tim's class that begins next week. Because being part of a small group gives you the opportunity to know folks outside of this sanctuary. And it also gives you the opportunity to deepen your own faith journey by interacting with others. Third, I want to invite you to commit to reading or rereading the Gospel of Mark in its entirety during 2024. Now, it's the shortest of the four Gospels. It's the one we're going to be focusing on during Lent. You've already heard the biggest portion of chapter one already this morning. And if you need a Bible, we have plenty in the narthex for you to take. And I'm going to tell you, we got those from the Lowe's. They gave them to us because they were replacing and updating theirs. So they gave all of those to us. So take one. If you know someone who needs a Bible, take it and take it to them. Fourth, double up on your prayer time. Now, it's an election year, so that alone should be reason enough to double up on your prayer time. But prior to November, it will be our denomination's first regular general conference since 2016. And even with the disaffiliation process that's ongoing, I fear there will still be rancor and challenges towards those of us who choose love and inclusion over those who choose division and fear. Finally, we have a new opportunity for life because Jesus has waded into those baptismal waters with us. Let us mark today as a moment in time when we remember our baptism and the ways the waters of grace, the waters of life overflow in our lives. Let us experience God's amazing grace anew so we, each of us, can continue to become the person that God has created us to be. The person whom God claims as God's own, who says, "You are my beloved, in you I am well pleased." Let us respond to God's call to live together in a new way as the beloved community, a way of love and light and forgiveness, a way of justice and equality for all God's children, a way in which violence is rejected and the least among us are cared for. Let us breathe, remember our baptism, and be thankful. Amen.
Beloved community, I have to begin by sharing with you that when Reverend Kathy was preaching today, I remembered that I did do baptisms in a river, and I had all of the congregation on the hillside, and the people that were being baptized came into the river, and we baptized by immersion. But I got the biggest man in the church to stand beside me so that nobody got swept away. Yesterday was Epiphany. Yesterday was the day we remembered the wise men going to Bethlehem, following the star to see Christ, the child. And just as Mary and Joseph and Jesus had to leave there and go by way of Egypt, because the wise men themselves learned that Jesus' life was in danger, and the wise men went away by Egypt and farther away, and Mary and Joseph and Jesus went by Egypt to go to their home in Nazareth, where Jesus would grow up. And I couldn't help but think that 2,000 years later, here we are And now there are people trying to leave Gaza by way of Egypt to have freedom and new life. So you fast forward in one day from an infant to a young man who goes to the River Jordan to be baptized by his cousin John. And of course, I couldn't help but think as we prepare for that, that 5 years ago this month, I was at the River Jordan with members of this congregation, with a community. We were there, and those in our congregation stepped into the river or splashed themselves in the river to remember their baptism and be thankful. So we are so blessed to celebrate this on this day every year. But it wasn't too many years after that baptism that Jesus was facing his own arrest and trial and crucifixion. But he was there in dinner with his friends, with his family, and he took bread. He gave thanks to God. He broke the bread, and he gave it to his friends. And he said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is given for you. As often as you do it in remembrance of me." And after the supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks to God. And then he said, "This is the cup of new life that is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance that I have died for you, and be thankful." And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts of Jesus Christ, we proclaim our faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And we pray, O God, pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these elements of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be the body of Christ for the world, redeemed by him. And so make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Amen. So now, with confidence as the children of God, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The cup of the new covenant. The cup of the new covenant. Cup of the new covenant. The cup of the new covenant.
The body of Christ broken for you. The cup of salvation for eternal life.
Thanks be to God.
Okay. I'm going to trade places with you.
Body of Christ.
So we're doing a new thing today as okay. Our new beginning of the year. We have both communion and our remembrance of baptism. So I'm going to bless the waters over the baptismal font, and then the ushers will come and direct you to the outer aisle to come. You will receive communion and then come and receive a shell. So that's the way this is going to work, we hope, this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that both the remembrance of baptism and the table are open to anyone. You do not need to be a member of this church or of any church. You simply have to have the desire to receive. The table is set, and we are all welcome. Pour out your Holy Spirit, O God, and by this gift of water, call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism. For you have washed away our sins, and you clothe us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and rising with Christ, we may share in his final victory. Amen. forth this day remembering your baptism and the grace that comes with it. Go now in peace to love and serve the world. Amen.